Abusing the police badge. As taxpaying citizens, one of our benefits is the provision of public safety. Revenue from tax dollars finance the payroll of police departments nationwide. The police officers are sworn in under oath to serve and protect the citizens within their jurisdiction. The police have a fiduciary obligation to stop and prevent crime if they have the ability and opportunity to. The title and job of a police officer carries with it a form of valor and respect because they place their lives at the front line of defense against criminals that lack respect for the rules and regulations that govern the rights of law-abiding citizens. I can think of countless cases and officers that have served the nation with the utmost diligence and bravery. The concern that I address on this topic is the abuse of the badge. When officers are sworn in, they are allocated certain privileges that the average citizen may not be able to exercise. Certain police cases force me to contemplate the abuse of that privilege, that over-exercising of authority and corruption of duty. I worry about the perversion of privilege with police officers and the malfeasance within police departments. I think about the blue wall of silence. I'm a very reasonable and rational person. I also understand that certain operations and investigative strategies may require non-traditional methods of catching criminals. But I have a question to ask. What happens when privilege and authority are compromised and officers operate under the influence of bias, racism, financial incentives, substance abuse, mental illness, and pure power rush? Several names and terminologies come to my mind when I ponder that topic. I think of names and case studies such as Oscar Grant in Oakland, California, or Rodney King in Los Angeles, California, or Sean Bell in New York City, or Amadou Diallo in New York City, or Abner Louima in New York City, or Ramali Graham in New York City, or Sammy Davis Jr., not the singer, but Sammy Davis Jr. in Macon, Georgia. When men that are to be thoroughly searched and handcuffed are placed in the back of police cars, end up dead by supposed self-inflicted gunshots to the head like Chavez Carter, I have questions. When scores of police are indicted on drug conspiracies to sell or assist in narcotics on an annual basis, like an Atlanta Police Department 2 years ago, I have questions. I have a serious problem when we have an NYPD officer by the name of Gilberto Valle III accessing a National Crime Information Center database for data to track potential female victims to cook and eat in a cannibalistic plot. That's sick. The overkill of unarmed citizens with a barrage of bullets is an increasing trend. The follow-ups and investigations are poor. The explanations and excuses are shoddy. Families lose a spouse, a parent, a child over a mistaken cell phone or a heated shouting match. But many police officers just get desk duty or just lose their gun for a few months. I mean, the vantage point from the ordinary citizen looks like legal hunting season, with cops operating with impunity and carte blanche. Where is the accountability? It will require the bravery and tragedy of cops within police departments to expose the cover-ups and scandals like Frank Serpico of the NYPD in 1971. See, we often read our local and national newspaper or watch the news broadcast crime statistics. In New York City, the police department had enacted a policy called stop and frisk. The problem with this policing policy is that the department was specifically targeting citizens of color and minority neighborhoods. Secondly, police were overexerting their authority on citizens that had not broken a law. Many Black and Latino citizens were stopped and harassed and disrespected for no reason. When the statistics for stops and arrests were conducted, the number of whites stopped by police compared to non-whites were staggering single-digit percentages. If you do not exercise and practice policy homogeneously and uniformly across city and state demographics, that is discrimination. And that style of policing is unethical and immoral. When you add personal bias or racism behind an officer's badge, the situation can be amplified with unpredictable ramifications. For instance, April 15, 2011, an NYPD cop named Michael Darigatti in Staten Island, New York, falsely arrested Kenrick Gray because he did not like that Mr. Gray talked back to him. Mr. Gray spent 2 days in jail. Officer Darigatti was already under investigation by the feds for a prior incident. He was recorded bragging that he had, quote, fried another nigger, unquote. This type of policing is inappropriate. This officer used his position of authority to exercise his own racial hatred and bias against a citizen. To top off this instance, Officer Darigatti engaged this person as a plainclothes officer. So, it makes you ask, why would a citizen submit or conform to the commands of a person they don't know is an officer? I mean, how many other citizens, state and nationwide, have been victims of this kind of policing? How many citizens now have criminal records because of this kind of policing? Almost like entrapment. A Chicago police officer by the name of Gildardo Sierra shot a man over 3 times in the back while on a parkway on June 7, 2011. What underscores the severity of this case is that this officer admitted that he drank several beers before starting his patrol shift that night. This shooting was also this officer's 3rd shooting and 2nd shooting death in a 6-month time frame. What was the result of this case? There was an undisclosed settlement. He was assigned to a city call center desk duty where he earned approximately $75,000. Something is wrong with this picture. How do you admit to drinking several beers and performing a patrol? First, that's driving under the influence. That's a crime. Second, you shoot a man in the back over 3 times and kill him while under the influence of alcohol? The scales of justice definitely need to be recalibrated. October 2012, an NYPD officer, Hassan Hamdi, shot an unarmed military soldier by the name of Noel Polanco. According to the news articles I had an opportunity to read and the media coverage that I viewed, the victim was shot once in the abdomen while his hands were on the steering wheel. He subsequently died at a New York hospital. The news said that the victim was driving with 2 other passengers on a Queens Expressway and cut off the emergency service vehicle that Officer Hamdi was in. Officer Hamdi and other officers pulled the Honda over and swarmed the vehicle in an irate manner. The witnesses in the vehicle assert that the window was open and the occupants had their hands up, and Polanco had his hands on the steering wheel. A vehicle search was performed, and there was no firearm in the vehicle. A spokesperson for the department said a drill was on the floor of the passenger seat, but that it has no bearing in the decision for lethal action. Is it illegal to pass or cross a police vehicle? Mr. Polanco may have cut off Officer Hamdi in an erratic manner, as the police and occupants of the Honda have explained. However, erratic driving does not warrant shooting recklessly at a citizen and ultimately killing them. The more officers practice this type of conduct, the more senseless fatalities will occur. Countless numbers of citizens are issued traffic citations for speeding and reckless driving on an hourly basis across the country. The moment police remove the right to due process and authority of the judicial system, the fragility of citizens' lives dangle in the hands of officers mood swings. The legal system is in place for a specific reason. The system allows discourse and mitigation in a controlled and legal atmosphere where people accused of violations can defend their positions without the threat of death. This situation could have been rectified by asking the occupants to step out of the vehicle from a safe distance with their hands in a visible field. The occupants could have been questioned and Mirandized if warranted. Police officers should not play lawyer, judge, jury, and executioner. This also brings me to the peculiar case of Christopher Dorner, which is too long to discuss, but all I'll say is this. The phrase incineration before investigation rings a lot of bells. My objective is not to make police officers appear as enemies to civilians. No. My objective is to use actual cases to illustrate areas of police practice that can be corrected or amended. I believe we will see a reduction in unnecessary fatalities, false arrests, brutality, and harassment. Improved training will also smooth out the friction between communities and police. This change may increase the respect and understanding between both parties and help in the execution of their duties and not the execution of citizens. I'm not well versed in police training, but I think there are some practices that can be implemented into police policy. For instance, I think officers should undergo quarterly mental health screenings because they operate a lethal weapon. A lot of officers may be on antipsychotic medications that do have side effect profiles that lead to combativeness and aggression and suicidality. War veterans have developed PTSD and other mental illnesses from what they experience in combat. Why do we assume cops are immune to mental illness, which can affect their judgment and how they perform their jobs? Police vehicles should have 24-hour video surveillance that monitors footage from the front and back seat angles. I do know that some vehicles that police have do have backseat video footage, but in the case of Chavez Carter, there's no footage of what happened when he supposedly shot himself in the head while handcuffed in the back of the police cruiser. A cruiser equipped with this type of monitoring would have clarified any ambiguity or unmonitored activity within the cabin of the vehicle. Officers should take a breathalyzer test pre- and post-duty to detect the consumption of alcohol. Police should also have cultural competency training exams of the type of neighborhoods they patrol. I think this would familiarize officers with behavior and dress codes that are different from their own or are unaccustomed to. I believe this would reduce racial profiling. There should be a law that addresses multiple officers firing at once. There are numerous cases of overkill and excessive force like Sean Bell, Amadou Diallo, or Timothy Russell in East Cleveland. He and a passenger were both shot over 20 times and shot at over 137 times. Lastly, I will reiterate what I said. The scales of justice need to be recalibrated, and our practice in our police departments need to be re-examined thoroughly.